Let's start with Quinn Hillier. Quinn, do you think the votes will be there when the week is done?
They shouldn't vote this quickly. That's what I say. That's what a lot of people say. It is absolutely absurd to come out with a bill changing policy in a way this important and to expect to vote on it within a week. That's just not how good government is done, and I guarantee you they do not have the votes to pass it this quickly. So unless Mitch McConnell wants to fail, then he will delay the vote and do a much more legitimate and measured process.
But Quinn Hillier, the swing votes are supposedly more than five Republicans, including Bill Cassidy of Louisiana. Now, Senator Cassidy is a doctor who has expressed reservation from the start, saying this had to pass the Jimmy Kimmel test. He now seems ready to vote yes, but he, too, like you, says we should not rush to the finish line. Do you think Senator Cassidy is one who is in the undecided column, or when all is said and done, he will vote yes?
Oh, I think when all is said and done, he will probably vote yes, because he seems to be of the same mindset that I am, which is that you don't measure legislation against the ideal or the perfect. You measure legislation against what exists now, and if it makes any significant improvements over what exists now, then you vote for it and you come back for more later. Rather than saying, well, this doesn't meet my ideal test of nirvana, therefore I'm going to stick my head in the sand and my heels in the turf and I'm not going to vote for anything. That is a recipe for constant failure. I don't think Bill Cassidy's like that.
All right, we've got Lamar White back. And, Lamar, we were talking with Quinn Hillier not only about the rush to get this done this week, but also the fact that Bill Cassidy to this point has not said he will vote yes. Do you think there's any chance he would be a no vote? And once again, your thoughts about trying to get this accomplished before the Independence Day holiday.
Well, first of all, I want to make sure you can hear me now.
Yeah, you're good. You're better.
Okay. What I was trying to say is that there's probably far more than five holdouts. And I wouldn't be surprised if Cassidy's a no vote. I mean, he's already said that he's undecided. This quickly, the vote is, only days, and I don't think an undecided at this point is enough,
But you don't think it's a good idea either to try to get a vote accomplished in such a short period of time?
I agree completely with Quinn. It's a bad idea. Well, it's a bad idea. It's a bad idea.
Now, Quinn, there have been no hearings on the Senate bill, and some people say, well, at least we should know what's in the bill, and maybe even some of the senators are uncertain about what's in it. Is that a factor?
It is and isn't a factor. There have been so many hearings on health care over the years that a lot of what is in there individually is very well known. In each discrete section of it, the problem is that there have been no hearings on how it all fits together in this particular package. You don't have to have hearings to analyze that if you take your time on the floor with floor debate. But you've got to do one or the other. And frankly, hearings really probably would be helpful and would might actually bring people on board. Here's what needs to happen. They need to explain it. They need to persuade people that this is good. They haven't done that. Neither the House nor the Senate has taken the time to explain to the American people why this is good, supposedly, and how it all fits together. They need to find their best communicator and literally do an address to the nation with maybe a few charts in a persuasive manner like Ronald Reagan used to do and say, this is why we are doing X and this is why we are doing Y and this is how it works and this is why you should be for it. If they don't do that, then they're wasting their time.
Now, Lamar, do you think that this is in some part an attempt to give President Trump a win?
It's, you know, it's interesting because you've got Donald Trump saying that he believes the bill is mean and sort of doubled down on that yesterday. At first, when the House voted, of course, I thought this was totally about just giving a symbolic win. But with the president now sort of distancing himself and kind of all, being all over the place about whether or not he supports this legislation or not, it's hard to see if this is really about giving him a win or if it's just about fulfilling a campaign promise for some of these Republican legislators.
Quinn, with all this noise in the background about the president, with special counsel looking into the Trump campaign in Russia, does that make it a tougher sell, or is that really irrelevant in this particular instance?
Oh, it does make it a tougher sell. What also makes it a tougher sell is that you don't have a president who can lead on this issue. Usually, if the president and Congress are in the same party and you have a major piece of the legislation, it is the president who is out front trying to sell it, trying to persuade the American people. This president does not know how to persuade the undecided. He preaches to the choir. He doesn't ever really explain things in a coherent, logical way. He just throws out sound bites on Twitter. And that doesn't work when you have an American public who is very nervous about this sort of thing. So when you don't have a president who is out front selling it, it becomes much harder. It becomes even harder when not only do you not have a president selling it, but you have a president who is completely focused on fighting off the, an investigation, and therefore it is not even inclined to really do much to help behind the scenes.
Lamar White, the fact that the president is embattled right now, does that embolden some Democrats who will fight him every step of the way on almost every issue?
I think, absolutely, and I think they probably were emboldened anyway just by the character of this guy. I mean, I agree that the Russian investigation is sucking up all the oxygen in the room. But I also would say that I don't think Donald Trump knows enough about this. I'm not trying to be insulting here. I really don't think he knows enough about this healthcare legislation to even explain it to people. He's been promising a completely different package of reform than what's being offered right now.
Lamar, it appears in Louisiana, in a state in which Donald Trump won by 400,000 votes, that it would be all but political suicide for either one of our two Republican U.S. senators to go against the president on this issue. What could happen to change that inertia?
Well, like the Times Picayune pointed out, you've got more than 400,000 new people on insurance, and the rates, the uninsured rates in all congressional districts have dropped dramatically, none more so than, by the way, Ralph Abraham. I think that John Kennedy is probably a hard no on this, but, Bill Cassidy's been out in front in the national media talking about the Jimmy Kimmel tax. So, I mean, he's kind of boxed himself in a little bit. If this bill doesn't do what he wants to do, he's probably going to have to vote no. Or look like a hypocrite.
Well, he may have to make a hard choice, and Bob Mann wrote about that in his column. It will be a hard choice either way. There are also statistics showing 70% of the births in Louisiana, Quinn, are so-called Medicaid births. We are in a poor state, and there are some people apparently benefiting quite a bit from the Affordable Care Act. How can senators square the needs of their constituents and also the needs of the people who brought them to the dance? We're talking about two conservative Republican U.S. senators.
Well, the answer is if they do the math, because there are more people who, if you believe the statistics, there are more people being hurt by Obamacare than helped by it. But the degree of help or hurt is the key thing. When I say there are more people being hurt by it, that's because premiums have gone up so astronomically. The question is, do people believe that the reason that the premiums are going up astronomically rather than just normally fast is because of Obamacare. If the public believes that that Obamacare is the cause of lack of choice, lack of being able to keep your own doctor, and of rising premiums, then there are a heck of a lot more people that that conceivably are being hurt by Obamacare than are being helped by it.
877-217-5757 is your toll-free number. Talk at talklouisiana.org is our email. Quinn Hillier and Lamar White and Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi, Jim. Yes, I think that we could all agree that everyone in this country needs good health care. Republicans, Democrats, from whatever income level that you're at. But I think we need to look at the fact that we spend billions of dollars on the war on drugs, and that's a failure. We're spending billions of dollars on our military budget, and eight times more than other countries combined. And here we are with people going bankrupt, going to the hospitals. We need to have a national health care thing that works. And if Democrats and Republicans got together and really sincerely worked on making that happen, this country could really progress and move forward.
All right. Quinn, your response to Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Quinn.
He's singing the same song I am. My most recent column at the Washington Examiner came out Thursday afternoon. Says that Republicans should not try to pass this from their own party. They should at least work hard to try to get at least two or three Democrats on board, and I named several that should be amenable to talking if the Republicans are actually willing to listen. The public is going to trust something a lot more if it has at least a veneer of bipartisanship. And also, when you completely rule out the other party, you rule out even the chance of a good idea coming from the other party, and sometimes even from somebody that's not necessarily inclined to help you, they can offer an amendment that makes things better. And so that's why Republicans really should work to try to make this bipartisan.
You also wrote a column recently. In fact, I think you wrote it before and then made a few alterations after the shooting of Steve Scalise about civility or lack thereof in American public life. What do you think as far as this being a culprit for many of the ills we're having right now?
Oh, I think it's a terrible culprit. Politics has always been a tough game. Nobody's saying otherwise. But it has gotten tough in a different way, in a more personal way, and in an angrier way than I've ever seen it. I was in D.C. for 5 years in the 80s. I saw what that was like. I was in D.C. for 5 years in the 90s. Saw what that was like. When I got back up to D.C. from 2006 to 11, it was so much worse than it even was in the 90s that it blew my mind. Republicans and Democrats didn't even talk to each other, much less listen to each other. The rhetoric was not just angry about subject matter. It was personal. It was deeply personal. It was deeply insulting to the other side. And something has gone wrong. And it is worse. And somehow we need to fix it.
Patrick in Innisfail Estates, you're on the air with Lamar White and Quinn Hillier. Hi, Patrick.
Hi. Okay, I understand the need for Medicaid to help people who can't afford health care, okay? But especially the people having babies or paying for a lot of babies, and these are people that can't support themselves, and they're having more and more children. Should we make it a requirement that if you're going to get Social Security for more than 2 years, it is a voluntary program, no one's forcing you to do it, that you, if you're in a certain age group, be sterilized so that you don't...
All right, that's a proposal that I don't think is going anywhere, but I would imagine more than a few people share Patrick's observations. Lamar, your response.
John Labruzzo ran on that platform when he ran against Conrad Appel for state senate. Actually, I just find it inhumane, and I think it's patronizing. I mean, sexist, patronizing, I don't know if the word, all the words I'd like to use to describe it, but I would say this. The amount of money that a woman earns for each additional child is so minimal that there's no real incentive for people to have more babies just so they get paid more by the government.
All right.
Maybe foster care program. That's what pays more
Quinn,
money.
What about forced sterilization?
No.
That was also a David Duke idea, and I know you fought against him on that issue and others.
Specifically on that issue, I actually wrote a big investigative piece about how David Duke was pushing for sterilization in a way that could not be fit.
Ellen in Sherwood Forest. Ellen, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. The critical problem with this health care bill, and Republicans are being very disingenuous about it, is that they're giving a huge tax cut to the wealthiest people in this country who don't need it, while vital health care is being taken away from the middle class and the poor. That's the critical problem here. And if more people recognized it, then we could address the problem and have real health care in this country that would serve the needs of most Americans.
All right. Thank you, Ellen. Quinn, your response.
I just think that is that's a misunderstanding of what's happening. Look, you're not giving something to the rich when you cut taxes that were only imposed a few years ago. You're letting them keep more of their own money in order to buy health care on their own. But the big thing is you're not taking away anything from the poor if instead of government, a direct government plan, you're giving them incentives and tax breaks and all sorts of other means for them to choose their own insurance. Remember, the idea is not that you're just kicking people out of insurance and saying you're not going to get insured. No, what the Republican plan is trying to do is give them what Republicans think is a better way for them to get better health care by choosing on their own.
Lamar, I would imagine you have different thoughts.
Yeah, completely different. That this is a tax break for the wealthy. I think that anytime you cap Medicaid spending, which is what the proposal plans to do, you are going to eliminate services for people. And these aren't just the working poor. These are people with disabilities. These are the elderly. And I agree with the caller. It's completely disingenuous to frame this as health care reform. And I disagree with Ben. I think that, you know, he's trying to say, well, this is just giving them their money back so they can buy health care. We know this doesn't work. We've tried this model for years, you know. And Romney Care, this is what Obamacare's model after, is a Republican idea.
Charlotte in Iberia Parish. Hi, Charlotte. You're on the air with Lamar White and Quinn Hillier.
Hi. Thank you for allowing me to contribute. I'm calling because the increase in insurance premiums are described in colorful adjectives, but never are the differences in the acceleration given as examples between 1980 and 2000 or in comparison to 2000 to now. And weren't the HMOs, PPOs, and PMOs in the 80s, offered as cost-saving measures for health care? It would help us understand whether it is accelerating now or it has changed and it's a slower acceleration. Would they address that?
All right, Lamar, let's begin with you. The health care dilemma, it certainly started before the Affordable Care Act, but how much of it is a reflection, the problems we're having now is a reflection of what was passed in 2010?
Well, first of all, there's no doubt the law needs to be fixed. But the caller is on to something. Premiums have risen, but they're rising at a slower rate than they were before, and that's just a fact.
All right.
That's just a simple answer to that.
Quinn, your thoughts?
I don't know the exact numbers, but I know the trend very, very well, having written about it, having worked on it. up until Obamacare, for about the past 20, 25 years, health costs had risen at 2 to 2.5 times the inflation rate. Since Obamacare has gone in, that has accelerated astronomically. Now, 2 to 2.5 times the inflation rate was already really, really bad. But now you've got almost no inflation except in the health insurance market, where premiums have gone up 8, 10, 12 times the inflation rate. And that change happened almost simultaneously with Obamacare going into effect. To me, that's a pretty darn good cause and effect.
All right. Here's a observation from Bill Kelly. And by the way, there is still time to get in with Lamar and with Quinn. Talk at talklouisiana.org or 877-217-5757. Bill Kelly writes, health insurance never saved anyone. Health care is what we need. Why are we calling health insurance health care? It seems health insurance is just a way for some people to skim money off the health care budget. That's an observation from Bill Kelly. Does he have a point, Quinn?
Yes.
Well, how much of a factor is it?
Oh, it's a big factor. Health care and health insurance are two different things. And there are different ways for people to go about getting health care. And the sooner that people realize that they are not the same thing, the sooner we can have policy mechanisms that actually work to control costs. The caller's dead right.
All right. Well, both of you have stated that the president and the Senate Majority Leader are going too fast on this, trying to get it done this week. But it appears they are pushing forward in hopes of getting 50 votes. And Quinn, right now there are 5 Republicans supposedly who are on the fence at the very least. If there are defections, which senators are most likely to vote no on this from the GOP side of the aisle?
Rand Paul is almost certainly going to vote no matter what, because he's Rand Paul and he likes to play the martyr. You're going to have a real hard time getting Lisa Murkowski from the center because she doesn't want a single dollar cut from Planned Parenthood, among other things, even for a year. So those are the two most likely to defect no matter what, which means that, again, unless they want to really roll the dice, they better darn well try to reach out to Democrats like Joe Donnelly and Joe Manchin, because they can't afford to lose a single other Republican unless they have some Democrats on board.
But if they did that, would then they lose people like Ted Cruz on the other side?
That depends on how they reach out. Look, people have lost the art of making not a Donald Trump art of the deal, but the art of making a political compromise. There are all sorts of ways you can get somebody who's not sure about a bill, but he's very, very strongly interested in one particular little policy part of it. You give him that little policy part of it, it doesn't necessarily make the bill any less conservative, and so you can give a moderate something that he wants, and you still don't turn off, say, a Ted Cruz on the right. You just got to find it, and the only way you find it is by taking your time, having hearings, and having open debate. And that's why it's so wrong for Mitch McConnell to try to push this through in 1 week.
Now, Lamar, I'm sorry we've had some challenges with your phone line, but I did want to get you to respond to the civility issue that Quinn mentioned and has written a recent column about, but you're the guy who broke the story a few years ago, which caused a lot of grief for Steve Scalise when you reported that he had attended a meeting in New Orleans of these white supremacists who were affiliated with David Duke. And I know you were working on a story about Congressman Scalise when he was shot 12 days ago. He's a popular guy. I mean, independent of his politics, he's well-liked. He seems to be the kind of guy that embodies civility. But what are your thoughts about whether or not we're having any discussion, one side or the other, to each other? As Quinn noted, that this seems to be not happening at all in Washington right now.
I agree. But, you know, I don't know if if you knew this, but Mike Johnson, the state rep up in Shreveport, is doing this whole civility pledge, and I think he's got about 50 or 60 representatives on board. So I know there is a push, and it's a good thing to see. I hope it's not disingenuous, you know. I don't, but that said, I don't think they're going to get any Democrats on board. It doesn't even matter what state side. Democrats to me with me.
All right, well, Quinn, there were no Republicans on board when Obamacare was passed. Is it any surprise that there are no Democrats on board when the effort to repeal it is going on?
Well, it's going to be hard to get any Democrats, but the Republicans aren't even trying. And look, Joe Manchin was not there in 2010. If I remember right, Joe Manchin was not in Congress yet when they passed Obamacare. So he doesn't have, you know, any skin in the game. Joe Donnelly is up for re-election in Mike Pence's Indiana, and he's got a tough re-election fight. So they should be able to at least try to persuade him, because he's got to be looking over his shoulder. Same thing with Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota. It is literally politically insane to try to do it without even trying to get the other party, because then you leave yourself no margin for error.
Chuck in Lafayette, we're going to slide you in very briefly. Please state your case to Quinn and Lamar. Hi, Chuck.
Good morning. Despite the current issue, all the issues in Congress seem to be related to the competition. They're always trying to compete, win against the other team, win against the person that's running against them, and they've lost sight of the need to cooperate. And without cooperation, if you look at the business models, they're learning to cooperate. They're no longer pitting employees against each other.
All right. Well, we thank you for your remarks, Chuck. Unfortunately, we've got to wrap it up with Lamar White and Quinn Hillier.